Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
That it drifted away. part of the service. Amen. Well, let's get into the message. Okay, it's titled The Kind of Friend Everyone Needs. And it's from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Okay, so open up your Bible to Mark chapter 2. In our next, in our text today, we have a paralytic. This is a man who is paralyzed in some part of his body. We think that probably he's paralyzed from the waist down, at least because his friends carry him on a pallet. So he's probably paralyzed from the waist down, probably has never used his legs ever. And this man thinks that the greatest need is to walk. He thinks the greatest need is to be able to use his legs. And I can imagine in a day like that, when you have a handicap that's so pronounced and it's very difficult to overcome, wouldn't you think? Okay, it touches every part of his life. It touches his psychological life. It touches physical, emotional, or relationally. It touches him financially. I can only imagine that this guy thought, if I could just walk, everything would be great. Everything would be normal. If I could just walk, I could have a life. Maybe I could find a wife, have children. Maybe I could go work. Maybe I can go to the synagogue. I could be part of the community if I could just use my legs. This man, no doubt, I think it's reasonable to think that he thought his greatest need was to walk. And I got to thinking this week, how often is it that we are currently thinking our greatest need, what we currently want in our life, and the God aspect to change sometimes what we currently want to change about our life isn't what we immediately need to change about our life. Sometimes what we currently want to change, think about your life right now, maybe it's your job, your financial status, where you live. I hope it's not your spouse, but you want to change something. And you think, if this could just change, everything would be great. Everything would be exactly the way I need it to be. But sometimes what our current need is, what we really want to change, isn't our immediate need. It's that this man thought his greatest need was to walk. His friends thought his greatest need was to walk, to be healed. But Jesus didn't think that was his greatest need. And fortunately for him, Jesus knew exactly what he needed. And he went beyond his want to his need and came back to his want. So let's look at this and see what the Lord might speak to us today. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And again he entered the Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house, probably Peter's house, where he stays when he is in Capernaum. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So they had broken through and let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw the faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and breathing in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" But immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning thus within themselves. He said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise and take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out of the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." There are three things I want us to see as we think about the kind of friends we have and the kind of friend we are. The fortitude for a friend. To understand how this relates to us, we understand what it means then, so get the picture in your mind. Here is Jesus. He has come out of the wilderness. He has been in the desert area for a few days. Because you remember the last time we were together in this text, he heals this leper and tells the leper, "Don't tell anybody." Why? Because Jesus knows that if everyone hears, he can heal this kind of disease like leprosy. The lowest of the low, that everyone is going to come out and they're going to be fixated on his miracles rather than his message. And he has not come just to be a healer, reduced down to a healer. He has come to be the Savior. He has not come just to take away their sickness, but he comes to take away their sins. So he doesn't want to be fixated on just the miracles, so he says to don't say anything. And does he keep it quiet? No, he tells everyone. We talked about this about last time, how difficult it would have been to have been so miraculously healed and not tell a soul. He just couldn't keep it to himself. So he disobeys. He tells everybody exactly what Jesus did and what to happen happened. He got flocked with the crowd all over him, and he says, you know what, I'm not going to go back in the city until everybody comes down. So the chaos after a few days comes down. He goes back into the city. He goes back to Peter's house, where he has healed the mother-in-law of Peter, and everybody hears of his location, and they flock to the house. What I want you to have in your mind, have you ever seen a mosh pit? Have you ever seen where there are just hundreds of people who are really tight in spaces? And everybody's sweating and everybody's trying to move. That's what we have here. We have hundreds of people who have come into Peter's house, and it would not have been the square footage of the stage. But think for a moment. If we tried to fit everybody in this room, we probably have 500, 600 in here. If we could try to fit everybody in on the stage, that's the idea. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the pandemonium and the pushing and sweating and shoving and crying and screaming? It wouldn't have been a pretty sight. You had a crowd so thick, so dense that nobody could get through. And what does it say that Jesus is doing? Mark says in verse 2, he's preaching the word to them. He is maybe sitting, maybe standing. He is preaching the word. He is preaching the gospel of God's grace, love, mercy, forgiveness, and compassion. No doubt. He is calling them, as he did in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, to repent of their sins and believe the gospel and be saved. That's what he's doing, because that's what Jesus has said he has come to do. He has come to preach the gospel so that people can be redeemed and restored and reconciled to God. So he is preaching his way to the cross because he's preaching the word. Now, Mark, because he has ADD, remember, he doesn't focus on what Jesus says. He focuses on what Jesus does. He focuses less on words and more on action. So he says there's something dramatic happening here. Five guys start trying to move their way through hundreds of people trying to get their friend to Jesus. Four guys holding a pallet, one paralyzed guy on a pallet, and they're desperate to get to Jesus. Why? Because they believe him to be someone like nobody else, and they believe he could do things like nobody else could do, and they believe correctly. So they try to get to Jesus, but the crowd is no help. The crowd is thick, the crowd is dense, the crowd is selfish, potentially the crowd is about themselves, and they're not going to move, not even for a guy on a pallet. The crowd is about themselves. One of the things I got to thinking about this week was this. When you read through the Gospels, particularly Mark, really the most common attribute of the crowds in Mark is that they obstruct access to Jesus. They don't help Jesus. They hinder Jesus. They don't help fulfill the purpose of why he's come. Every time you turn around, Jesus is trying to work around the crowds. Sometimes he'll even preach hard messages so that everybody, for the most part, will go away. He gets these big crowds, and he's like, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't be my disciples. And they're like, this guy's a freak. I'm out of here. And yet in our churches today, what is every church wants more than anything else? The crowd, right? Man, if we could just have a crowd. Churches get obsessed with getting bigger crowds, so they'll give cars away on Easter. And they'll sing secular songs in church. And they'll stay away from the controversial topics, and they'll do just about anything. In other words, they'll give the crowd what they want, but rarely what they need. And yet, Jesus didn't come to make crowds. He came to make converts. He didn't want decisions. He wanted disciples. He wasn't trying to attract this big group to himself. He was trying to transform the world to become more like him. That's what he was trying to do. And yet our churches today, sometimes we seem to forget that, don't we? I'm going to tell you the crowd today isn't much less like the crowd in that day. The crowd tends to obstruct access to Jesus. Let me ask you, are you part of the crowd? I'm going to get into my seat. I've got to get in and get my worship on. I'm going to sing my song. I'm going to give what I want. I don't care what anyone else needs. I'm not here for anybody else. It's just me and Jesus. Listen, that's the same attitude as the crowd here. If I could write, I don't care about you, it's the crowd mentality. When are we ever going to figure out as a church that when you do crazy things to gather a church, you have to do crazier things to keep them. And then you have to do even crazier things to get more people. And you're constantly doing crazier things to gather a crowd. Who's going to keep other people from Jesus? Does that sound smart to you? Is it any wonder that if we spend more time trying to gather crowds and trying to gain disciples, that the church is more likely going to look like the world than it is like Jesus? Because being in a crowd around Jesus is still not the same as being a disciple of Jesus. Being in a crowd around Jesus is not the same as being a disciple of Jesus. Jesus had a crowd around him, but they did not want him. They wanted what he could offer. They wanted what he could give, but not what he. But they didn't want him. And that's the crowd today. That's the church crowd today. And I'm going to say this. I don't mean this bad or smug. I say this with a heavy heart. There are many church leaders today who the only thing that they have done is come up with successful ways for lost people in a room to feel comfortable in church. That's all they've done. My job is not to make you feel comfortable. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. My job is to introduce you to Jesus and then show you how to love him, know him, service him, follow him for the rest of your life. That's it. Now, when you hear the truth, when you hear the truth about yourself, when you hear the truth about God, and when you hear the truth about the Word, and when you hear the truth about the gospel, it's uncomfortable. If you could sit in church week after week after week and feel totally comfortable, one of us is not doing our job. Either I'm not coming prepared to teach you the truth, or you're not coming prepared to hear it. Because the truth about who God is, the gospel refuses to let you feel comfortable about you. It refuses. God doesn't want you feeling comfortable about you. He wants you putting your faith in him, and then when you get lost in him and you get forgiven by him and you get filled by him, you don't worry about you. Okay, so that's the sermon for today. Okay. Boy, it's been a long day today. But I tell you, it's just the way it is. Okay, so let's get into the invitation. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? If not, that's okay, because you will get a chance to do it in just a moment. Let me ask you, are you tired of going down this long, dusty road and never knowing which way is up or down? Are you tired? Okay, just tired, okay, all the time? And maybe you lack purpose in life and you need some purpose. Okay, or maybe you suffer from anxiety or depression. Or maybe you suffer from something much worse, like alcohol or drug abuse. Okay, sexual immorality. Okay, gambling or overeating. Whatever the problem may be, the Lord can take it away. But in order to do so, he has to know you. So the question is tonight, do you want to get to know God? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge you that I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now I confess the Lord Jesus as of my soul. With my heart I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace which has saved me from my sins. I also thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And also, I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name so we can pray for you. And you can do this by calling area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that area code is area code 657-383-1487. And press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you can come on live and let us know that you said this prayer. So if you said this prayer, we want to welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. All right. Okay. All righty. Well, we got some callers here. 719.
Ken, I'm at the front door. Tony must have locked it. I've been standing here for the past hour knocking and no one's answering. I tried calling. I don't want to get you in trouble, but at least unlock the door if you're going to call me over. I had to sneak out. My parents almost caught me.
Yeah, whatever. 111.
Franklin, I'm with UPS. We got here a bucket of KY for Cinco de Mayo.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it. Okay, we're gonna take a
big old music break.
Yes. Here we go.
Don't wait your life taking photos.
You Thank you. I'm doing blessed and highly favored.
That's good. That's good to hear.
Tell your ma, tell your pa, I'm going to move to Arkansas.
Why are you going to move to Arkansas?
Why not?
Okay.
Okay, I was only kidding, okay? I'm sorry. Hey, it's good to hear from you. I won't waste your time, okay?
Oh, it's always good to hear from you, Doug.
Yeah, everybody loves Doug.
Yeah, everybody does.
Except everybody else that don't love Doug, right?
Well, I don't know anybody that doesn't love you, Doug.
Oh, okay. Well, how you been doing? How you feeling?
I've been doing good. Been doing really good.
Good. What kind of music you listen to, Pastor Ken?
I basically listen to Christian music.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's good. Yeah. You like Stevie Ray Vaughan, that blues guitar guy that plays Texas music?
Yeah, I like Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, well, on that note, I'll leave you and say good night and have a good show.
Okay, thank you. God bless you.
Bless you too, man.
All righty. Okay. Let's see. 111.
Monster.
Okay. 111. 111.
How you doing there, Kenny?
Hey, Clay, how you doing?
I'm okay, just here listening to your show. What's that squeaking sound?
That's somebody calling in being a clown.
That sounds like a dog toy. My dog, God bless his soul, Bandit, used to play with one. How you been?
I've been fine, Clay. How you been?
Okay, just here resting up. But this coronavirus still going on. How you been with this coronavirus?
I'm good.
I think the coronavirus was started by some trolls.
You never know.
Them people from China, them Chinese people, they know how to troll. I believe China is where all the trolls come from. But that's me.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just called to say hello.
Well, good to hear your voice, Clay.
And you're good to hear you, too.
Amen.
Can you put me back on mute, or do you got any more callers?
I've got one more caller.
Bring them on.
Okay. 111. Okay. Yep. We're serious there.
That never gets old. Anyways,
yep.
Kenny, God bless you.
God bless you too, Clay.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. All right. Okay. Okay, let's see here. We got another 111. Another 111. All righty. Well, I'm going to say God bless y'all. Have a blessed night. Okay? Okay, that's enough of the tweets and the clown noises. Okay, so God bless y'all. Have a blessed night. Okay, see you on Saturday.